We do commit this time into thy hands, trusting thy Holy Spirit to guide our fellowship, that thou mayest be seen and heard and obeyed. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank God for gathering us together again this afternoon. We mentioned yesterday afternoon that the morning session is asking, afternoon session is seeking, and evening session is knocking. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. We know that in the Greek original, we are told, this verse means, keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. And keep on knocking, and it shall be opened to you. We ask, yesterday morning, we sought, yesterday afternoon, we knocked last night, and dear brothers and sisters, this morning we are asking for more, and more shall be given. This afternoon, we seek for more, and more shall be found. And God willing, tonight, we will knock more. And more shall be opened. So may the Lord help us. As we did yesterday, it is an open time of sharing as led by the Spirit of God. If you have any question, you may ask. If you have any answer, you may give. If you have any truth God has revealed to you, share it with your brothers and sisters that we may be strengthened. And if you have any experience, share with us that together we may learn. Now, our brother Michael Woods will start our sharing this afternoon.
I'm back here. Should I come up? I need it. Okay. Please bear with my voice. I'd like to just read one verse, Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. And the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of Jehovah stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel went over on dry ground until all the nation had completely gone over the Jordan. Yesterday, as our brothers and sisters shared in a spirit of seeking, different situations in different localities, many situations where only a few, a little more than two or three, but a few were gathered in the name of the Lord. And when I heard our brothers sharing, I just felt they were ministering to us. Let me explain what I mean. 20-some years ago, when we began to meet, I remember the Lord giving very clearly encouragement in Joshua in the book of Joshua. And the encouragement was, be strong and courageous. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and of good courage. And I really touched that spirit of courage and strength in our brethren yesterday. And I didn't have an answer. I felt like in many ways the Lord was answering as they were sharing their testimonies. The grace of God to be strong and the grace of God to be courageous. Here in Joshua, one generation had passed away since the Exodus, crossing the Red Sea. And they were at another body of water, very threatening, over the banks. And it was a call to go through again. It was not a tragic end. It was a glorious beginning. And may we be encouraged, whatever our history together, that we've only really begun in the Lord. Not to have a kind of fatalistic point of view that we have to repeat history. But may the Lord show us that it's time to enter in and possess the land. The way the Lord gave, the pattern the Lord gave, was very simply to follow the ark. It was very simple. It was not by man's inventions or genius or creativity, but the way that the Lord gave to enter in to the inheritance and to possess the land was to simply follow the ark. And I love this picture. It's really like a vision, if you think about it. You know, Israel woke up in the morning. They got out of their tents, and there they saw those 12 priests standing, holding the ark. And they lined up in orderly array. And there was a pattern. There was an order. And it was to follow the ark. And the priests were called and chosen of God to put their hand to the staves in the ark and lift it up and go down. And I see in this a calling for all of us, first of all, who have seen anything of the Lord, if any heavenly vision or revelation has come to us of God's purpose and of His testimony, by the grace of God, we are called and chosen to put our hands to it and to lift up and hold fast the headship of Christ. And in our holding fast the headship of Christ, to go down to the bottom of the riverbed, to a place of death, and to stand firmly. It's on dry ground. It's on good footing. But it's holding up the ark. It's holding fast the head. If God has given us any vision at all of Himself, of His Son, of His purpose, we are called to hold fast to the headship of Christ. And if we do, we will go down to a place of death. And it's a standing. But it's not a standing for ourselves. It's a standing for all of Israel. And down in that place of death, the bottom, the lowest point, as they held up that ark, the waters, the treacherous, fearful, dangerous, threatening waters were held back. And all Israel passed through. And these priests who held up the ark were the first to go down and they were the last to come up. There was a standing, firm, holding fast the head till all Israel passed through. It was successful. It was glorious. It was a testimony even to the world. And all of Israel passed through. It's such a beautiful picture of the headship of Christ, of the ground of the cross, which is really the ground that we meet on. It's not the ground of the teaching. It's not the ground that we see more than anybody else. It's the ground that the Lord is calling us to follow the Lamb whithersoever He goes. And it's the way of the cross. And He leads us to that place of going down and standing firm that all of Israel might pass through. It's a picture of unity. These 12 men standing for all of Israel. But even more than that, and I want to address this particularly to the brothers and sisters in Richmond. It was for all of Israel. Thank God, before Matthew 18, the revelation of the church local, the Lord gives us Matthew 16, the revelation of the church universal. We can never lose sight of that revelation. That is in the Lord's heart. If we don't have revelation of Christ, and in the revelation of Christ, see His church, then we'll become ecumenical, or then we'll try all these inventions and ideas of man. But if we really see the Lord, we will see the heart of the Lord, and it's all of Israel. It's all His people. And so, there's a standing for all. Let me put it another way. Old wineskins burst with new wine. The Lord said, for new wine, we need new wineskins. And so the testimony local must be a new wineskin so that there is that willingness to give, that pliability for the Lord's life to be expressed. The Lord's people are a family. It's not only old men who have the Father's heart, but young men who fight the good fight, and little children who are a lot of trouble. But what a joy children are, and how incomplete we are without children. The Lord loves children. And I believe the Lord's heart is for all His people, young and old, and even the little babies that we have to change their diapers all the time. All of Israel. That is what we're standing for. And we don't move. We don't change positions. We don't do anything. We stand firm. We hold that ground. We hold fast the headship of Christ. And it's for the sake of all. So I just share this. I believe the Lord would enlarge our hearts to embrace all. And I think everyone knows what I mean. I'm not saying ecumenical at all. I'm saying that our vision includes all our brothers and sisters. And that that be our stand. And that be our ground for me.
As we did yesterday afternoon, any brother or sister, young and old, who want to participate, just raise your hand and high enough to be seen, and you will be acknowledged, and a microphone will be given to you so everybody can share and be with you. So it's open now.
I have a question to ask Brother Kong, and I wrote it down because I knew I'd be nervous. Yesterday you mentioned of the move of the Holy Spirit in China. Could you please give us a brief sketch of this move in its early years and its later developments? Since you have been a first-hand witness of its development in the past 60 years, please comment on some of the positives and shortcomings and what lessons we can apply here in the United States from the moves of the Holy Spirit, both in China and in England of last century.
This is not the nature of this afternoon. Because this afternoon is a time that every brother and sister should participate. And I shouldn't be the target. So I don't know what to do. The Lord moves in His sovereign way. We may learn something from one another, but we cannot imitate one another. What God has done in China is something that we can learn from, but I don't believe that it should be duplicated. That's why I always hesitate to relate something of the past. But I know these young brothers and sisters have been after me for a long time. Let me explain very briefly, because it's a long history. Back in 1920s, the Lord did something in South China, in Fujian, among the students. This was the result of years of prevailing prayers of some dear missionary sisters. Especially two sisters. They lived in the country place and they gave themselves to prayer. They felt that for the future of the Lord's testimony in China, God must raise up some young people. And they prayed. And it is the answer to their prevailing prayer. A revival broke out in Trinity College in Fujian. Our dear brother Watchman Nee was there, and a number of others. I don't know if any one of you here knew, but some might. Among the students, the Lord just raised up these college students. It was a college according to the English system, so actually it was like the community college. But God raised up these young men. And they were on fire for the Lord. They went out to the streets, have gospel posters hanging on them, and they preached Christ. People began to come to them. They didn't have chairs. People who wanted to attend a meeting had to bring their own chairs. But the Lord was doing a work there. Then they began to meet regularly. They searched the scripture. And they felt that whatever was in the Word of God, they should obey. But whatever was not there shouldn't be done. Even in China, Christianity was in such condition that many things were practiced that were not in the Word of God. And things in the Word of God were not practiced. So with these young brothers and sisters, their desire was to follow the Word of God. As they searched the scripture, they began to see they should be baptized by immersion. So they followed the Lord and got baptized. It is very strange. Sometimes the first step is baptism. And it seemed to happen in church history throughout the centuries. And after some were baptized, they began to feel that they should worship the Lord, remember the Lord in simplicity. The way that the organized church remembered the Lord was too complex, too ritualistic, too unreal. So at the beginning, three or four brothers and sisters, they came together just to remember the Lord in a simple way. There was our dear brother Watchman Nee, dear brother Li Neng Wong and his wife, and also brother Nee's mother. They continued to preach the gospel. They went out to other places to preach the gospel. And it was during that period that our Lord began to show Watchmen something more than just getting people saved. The Lord began to show him that God's desire is for his church. He wants these saved people to be built up together as his holy habitation. So he began to share with the brothers and sisters about this thing. But most brothers and sisters were not ready for it. On the contrary, because Brother Nee felt very strongly that the Lord wants to establish his churches everywhere, not just getting people saved, but have the saved ones be built up together. Finally, he was rejected by his fellow workers. Instead of fighting with his fellow workers, he retreated. To make the long story short, he met a few sisters who had the same vision. In 1928, in Shanghai, he and a few sisters, they came together in one sister's home, and there they broke bread to remember the Lord. The Lord is the center of the beginning. They believe in the one body of Christ. We should not be divided, but we should be one. And that's how the work in China began. I came in contact with dear brother Ni in 1930. I was a student in high school. Thank God he saved me. A few of us were on fire for the Lord. We had meetings in our high school. We went out to the villages to preach the gospel. And it was during that time that we invited what we call famous preachers to come and preach to us. Every Friday after school, we used the church building, that is the Methodist church building, their Sunday school building, and we asked a famous preacher in Shanghai to come and preach to us. About 1/3 of the student body and many teachers joined us. After several months, we exhausted all the famous preachers we knew. So one day, we were talking, whom should we invite next? And one brother said, I heard a man by the name of Watchman Nee. Let me find him and ask him to come and preach to us. He did find him. He was on the other end of our city. And it was a Tuesday afternoon, a time when the brothers and sisters there met to study the Bible together. It was the time when Brother Nee was going through what you know today, the gospel dialogue. And this young brother, older than I, but still young, he was our teacher. When he attended that first meeting, he argued with Brother Nee. And then afterwards, he asked Brother Nee to come and preach to us. Thank God, Brother Nee did come. I remember very vividly, he came not alone, with another brother. And he preached to us a gospel message. God is willing. I was already saved, but I was deeply touched. I went to hear him a few times. Let me tell you the first time I went there. At that time, they rent it's a row of houses, small houses, with an open courtyard. And they put two of these houses together. In the courtyard, the wall was still there, and it was open. And when I went there, I think there was about over 100 people there. It's all chairs putting very tightly, and in the open court is benches. They met on Sunday afternoon. My teacher and I went there because we didn't know how much time it would take us to arrive there. So we arrived an hour early. There was nobody there. And we two were sitting in that meeting place, joking and talking and laughing, you know, like young people usually. And suddenly the back door was opened. And a brother came in and said, "Brother Lee was resting upstairs. Please be quiet." I was so frightened. Before 2 o'clock, people arrived. The place was packed. Nobody talked. People were coming, either praying silently or reading the word. It left such an impression upon me. And by 2 o'clock, Brother Lee came down and preached. And he used to preach 2 hours. There was not a sound, not a move. The presence of the Lord was tremendous. But I was not ready for it. I was too hot. It wasn't until the Lord took me away from Shanghai. I graduated. I didn't want to go to college. I thought it was a waste of time. I wanted to be prepared to preach the gospel, as one brother said, in Mongolia. I picked my Bible school institute to go. I thought my father certainly would approve because he loved the Lord and he served the Lord. But to my surprise, he objected. He said, "No. You go to college. There is no good seminary in China. You go to college, finish it, I'll send you to America to study theology." I was so downhearted, I felt that was almost like the end of my world. But I have to obey my father. I went to college. It's a Methodist college. Immediately I plunged myself into Christian activity. And to my surprise, it's a different kind of Christianity. I didn't know that my university was the center of modernism in South China. My professors were missionary professors. They did not believe the Bible as the Word of God. They did not believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God. When I tried to mention the Lord and His Word, they cut me down. It is political, social, economic, moral, that's all. It was a discovery to me. I didn't know that. I thought all believers believe in the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. All believers believe in the Bible as the Word of God. But it was not. So I retreated, withdrew. I was lonely. I was alone in the dormitory. No fellowship. The only lifeline I had was in my room with two other fellow students. I do not care who were there. I do not care who were talking or coming or going out. Daily I knelt, read the Word of God, and prayed. I couldn't live without that. And it was during that time I began to read Brother Lee's writings and began to speak to me. God began to open my eyes. I began to appreciate what the Lord has given to our brother. So when there was opportunity, I would go to Shanghai, try to learn more. And the same thing happened. The first thing is baptism. I was baptized when I was a baby. When other brothers began to share with me on baptism, believer's baptism, I objected. I said I had already been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How could I be baptized again? But strangely, as I searched the scripture, I knew I wasn't baptized. I knew I had to be immersed, as the scripture said, but I couldn't do it. My father was a Methodist pastor. I love my father. I didn't want to hurt him. I made up my mind, I will be baptized one day after I graduated, after I was independent. Then I will be baptized. But one day, when I visited my friend, he talked to me about baptism. I argued with him. I said, no, not necessary. But then, afterwards, I was praying, Lord, I know. I know I should be baptized, but I couldn't. Wait. The Word of God came to me. He that loves his father and mother more than me cannot be my disciple. I went downstairs, knocked the door of Brother Lee's house. He came down. He said, what do you want? I said, I want to be baptized. He said, did your father know? I said, he doesn't. But I want to be baptized. I was baptized that night. The next day was Sunday. And I had the opportunity of breaking bread with my brothers and sisters. But after I did that, I knew I had a problem. When I returned home, what should I do? My father was the pastor of that university, the church there. I attended every Sunday. They had the communion once a month. We will go forward near there and receive the communion. But I remember my professors, unbelievers. Can I partake with them the Lord's table? This is the body of Christ. I had to discern, this is the body. I couldn't do it. But I dare not talk to my father. For a whole year, whenever there was a communion, I find an excuse to be away. And after a whole year, I exhausted all my excuses. Pardon me for speaking of my own experience, because I have to link it. The Lord gave me two brothers, my classmates. In our ignorance, sometimes three of us on Sunday will find an empty room and we will break bread together to remember the Lord. Then we heard there were some sisters in the other end of the city. They went by train to Shanghai, by turn, to break bread there. And we were introduced to them. So we said, we'll pray about it. See what the Lord wants us to do. And after several months of prayer, we felt we should be together. So I remember one day, seven of us met in a sister's home. We remember the Lord in simplicity. No eyes were dry. Very simple. That's how it began. Then the Lord did something miraculous. Many got saved. Not through me, but many got saved. It seemed as if the Lord was starting something, and I wasn't ready. I could foresee the future. That if the Lord should start something, the responsibility mainly rests on me. But I felt, in my situation, how could it begin? I was a person who are standing in China, we said, two legs on two boats. On the one hand, I cling on to traditional Christianity. On the other hand, the Lord was teaching me. I wanted to follow Him all the way. Whatever He said, whatever is of the Lord, I wanted to follow. But on the other hand, I couldn't let go. The old. I knew this was not right. And one day I heard a message. A brother spoke on Luke chapter 14. Before you build a tower, sit down and count your cost. So after the message was given, we had lunch together and we rested. And while we were resting, I was sitting there alone, praying. Lord, the reason why I could not follow You all the way, maybe because I have never really counted. I began to count the cost. The more I counted, the heavier it became. I couldn't. I told the Lord I couldn't. The enemy tried to threaten me. I will be cast out of college. I will be cast out of home. I will be an outcast. No future. Nothing. But it was at that time the Lord appeared to me. I saw his bleeding head, hands and feet, and he asked me one question. I do all this for you. What have you done for me? I said, Lord, everything. You deserve everything. You should have everything. But even though I promised the Lord, I would give him everything I could. I struggled. 3 days, three nights, I couldn't sleep. I was in school, I couldn't hear what the professor says. Struggling. But thank God, he overcame. Then I went to my father. I told him what happened. He was hurt. He was hurt because I didn't tell him I was baptized. He said, why don't you trust me? If you want to be baptized, I will do it for you. But he understood. He loved the Lord. He said, as long as you follow the Lord, that's all right. Everybody expected me to follow my father's footsteps. To be in the Methodist church. But the Lord meant otherwise. My father was not sectarian at all. He said, if you serve the Lord, that's fine. We suffer greatly from the Christian world. Persecuted. But as I can remember, the last 2 years in my college years, that was the best years. That uninterrupted communion with the Lord. In 1935, I graduated from college. And Brother Lee sent words to me to join him in the work. I felt myself unprepared, unready. But God, in his sovereign way, brought me out of my home and be with our dear brother, Watchman. I was 20 years old. When I first went to Shanghai to be with him, I think there were over 200 brothers and sisters there. It was a wonder because there was Brother Lee and there was. And Brother Lee was often sick. And the way he tried to treat me was, he never told me when I would be speaking. Every Sunday, I was in fear and trembling, waiting for his word. In the meeting at 9:30 or 9 o'clock, by 7 o'clock, he would send me a note. Two words. It either I come or you speak. And he kept me in suspense for a whole year. I think it was good training. I was too young, too innocent, ignorant. Nobody was in a sense controlling me. I was by myself. There are many needs among brothers and sisters, but I cannot supply these needs. And even today I wonder, with these wonderful sisters and brothers who knew the Lord for so long, they sat there and listened to me. What could I share with them? So I had plenty of time in hand. So that's the reason why I always tell young people, do nothing because the Lord called you, therefore you have to let everything and start preaching at once. You will be spoiled. Nobody above you, nobody controlling you. You have plenty of time. What are you going to do with the time? Fortunately, I love to read. So I read a lot. And every week, Brother Nee would give me some books to read. He gave me all kinds of books to read. And thank God for that. So I'm reading all kinds of books, even today. In the 30s, the work in China began to grow. Through conferences, through magazines and books, and through brothers, sisters traveling out and share Christ. Over China, in many places, God did the same thing with his people. Here and there, God's people receive the same vision. And later we find out so in the 30s it spread along the seacoast of China from Manchuria north down. In the beginning, we were welcomed by organized Christianity. We were invited to speak in their schools, in their conferences. But gradually, the door began to close. Now, we never went to their schools, all their conferences to talk about church. We talk about Christ. But when people receive Christ, and when people began to seek after Christ, they came. And as a result, many of the best, the most zealous brothers and sisters in different denominations began to leave them and join us. Our brother Jose's father was one. So people began to blame us as stealing sheep. Doors began to close. But thank God, we have more work to do than we are able to cope with. And we felt that virgin soil is much better. That was in the 30s. Another thing we thank God for, even though we were rejected by organized Christianity, and yet the messages that God has given to us were given to the whole church. And we find that pastors, others, began to preach what they read from our publications. We thank God for that. Then the war came to China. You know, the war became between Japan and China was earlier than the Second World War. So when the war came, God in His sovereign way drew many brothers and sisters from the seacoast into interior China. Many schools, universities, colleges moved to Free China. And brothers and sisters began to move with the government, with the school, and with work, move into interior China. And that's how the work began to grow in interior China. So when the war was over, in 1945, in China, the work has spread not only the coast but into the interior of China. Let me be very honest. The Lord gave us a good beginning. We believe it was the move of God. Even though we have to say it, our understanding was limited. Our dear brother Watchman Nee, he saw far clearer than many of us, even fellow workers. Use myself as an illustration. I've been serving the Lord in the 30s, traveling to different provinces and cities, preaching the gospel, holding gospel campaigns, visiting brothers and sisters. So-called planting the churches everywhere. But what did I do? Mostly outwardly. And after several years of serving, I came to my end. I said, if that's all that we did, what's next? outwardly churches spread out in different parts of China. Many came to the Lord. We have many fellow workers. But where is the reality? Local churches everywhere. But where is the reality? Thank God for myself. It was during the wartime. I fled from Singapore to India. And it was during that period the Lord opened my eyes to see that the reality of the church is Christ. These outward things, if they do not have Christ, these are empty. And once you see Christ, there is no limit. Unfortunately, even before the communist took over China, in my personal observation, we gradually fallen into organization. At the beginning, we never called ourselves the church. We say we are standing for the church. But we are not the church, because the church includes all God's people. But in the 40s, we call ourselves the church here, the church there. A pride came over us. We looked down upon our brothers and sisters in the denominations. We felt that we knew we were superior. Not knowing God has His treasures everywhere. We cannot blame the opposition from organized Christianity, because we drew it upon ourselves. We began to appoint elders, but not in all places. Things began to be organized. And to my observation, that was the beginning of our downfall. And God used the common to purify us. But thank God, what God has done is still there. our dear brother Watchman Nee was in prison from 1952 to 1972, and he died in 72 in labor camp. Many of my fellow workers died in prison. Many brothers and sisters suffered tremendously. Many failed. Many stood. So, brothers and sisters, that's what I feel. 20 years. Is an important time. It happened to us in China. It does not need to happen that way. If we are humble enough, he is able to keep us. We fall because of pride. God gave grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. Thank God, his purpose never changes. You know, God seemed to begin in the same time, a little earlier, in England. Brother Sparks was a Baptist minister. He was very active in Christian Union. As a matter of fact, Jessie Penn Lewis wanted him to be her successor. But the Lord began to show him the body of Christ, the spiritual principles of the Church Universal, the eternal purpose of God. And he told me himself, when he was pastor of that Baptist church, he preached what the Lord has shown him for a whole year, and only God. One brother. Finally, he came out of that Baptist church and started what we know today as Honor Oak Missionary and Conference Center. It's also in the 1920s. I was privileged to go there. Not in the early days, but in the late 50s. And one thing that impressed me most was their prayer meeting. They have prayer meeting twice a week. Tuesday night and Saturday night. Tuesday night they pray for the whole world. Saturday night they pray for their local needs. Over 100 people were there praying together. I was impressed. My observation, God gave Brother Sparks such a tremendous vision of the heavenliness of the church that blinded him of the practice of the local assembly. He was so afraid that anything heavenly, when it touches the earth, is corrupted. So he wouldn't, even though he believed in local assembly, but he discouraged people from gathering together. Even before he passed away, things began to change. What the Lord has raised up for our brother is no longer there. But what the Lord has shown him, the truth, the teaching, is still here. India. God began marvelously. God raised a boxing, our dear brother. God called him. He went back to India. He traveled all over India preaching the gospel. Many, many got saved. Because Christianity in India was dead. Wherever he went, the Bible was all sold. After he labored for several years, he had a problem. When he returned to the same place, many who were saved under his ministry disappeared. Organized Christianity could not nurture these people. And it was in 1940, about that time, or a little earlier. He was wondering what the Lord wanted to do. And a sister from England wrote him and said, if you need a place to be quiet before the Lord, you're welcome to come. And this sister was a widow. Our dear sister, Lady Hogan. And the Lord told Boxing, go to the widow. So he went. And when he arrived there, two young brothers from Brother Sparks were there. They were trained by Brother Sparks. One was Brother Fleck, who visited us. And he will be coming in June. The other is Brother Goldsworthy. He is now in Melbourne, Australia. They were young then. And they were there. So the four of them, I was told, they spent every morning just praying, seeking the Lord. What is the Lord's way for India? They did not tell Brother Boxing what he should do. Just pray with him. And after several months, God showed the pattern to Boxing. He went down to Madras and started that work. I was fortunate to visit there a year later. There was at that time, I think, about 400 people. But because of the war, half of them were left the city. There were still about 200 people there. When they started that work, they met every day for a whole year, twice a day. Before everybody went to work, they came together, learned the Lord, and after work, they came together and learned some more of Him. And they were together for a whole year, almost like the church in Antioch. When I visited them, one thing I was impressed. You know, Brother Boxing, when he prayed, he quoted scriptures, but he did not tell you what the scripture says. He quoted the chapter and the verse. Whenever he writes any letter, at the end of the letter, four passages. He never looked through the Bible. He just writes it. So when I went to Madras to be with the brothers and sisters, and when they would pray, Lord, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, answer it. I was lost. Wonderful. Very poor. I was with them during the Easter time, a conference. They asked me to be with them. I ate with them, slept with them. We sat on the floor. All we had, curry, rice, vegetable, no meat. I was so afraid of the curry. Too hot. So they teach me how to relieve the heat. Just a bite of banana will do. It really helped. They loved the Lord. They went out to the street every day preaching the gospel. God told Boxing, no plan. He never planned anything. Just as the Spirit leads. They have convocations in different parts of India. 6,000 people will come. Anybody can come, saved and unsaved. Live there, eat there, pay nothing. There is no time factor there. You know Boxing. He was here, and the brothers and sisters suffered. In the convocation, he should be speaking, but they couldn't find him. He was talking to somebody. They live in eternity. After the convocation, people got saved. They went back to their own village and they said, come over and preach the gospel here. They pray about it, and if they felt the Lord led them that way, a group will go there, rent a house, live there, they never say how long, and they will preach from day to night. And when people got saved, a few will be left there, and they go on to another place. And the fire just spread and spread. Hundreds, hundreds of meetings. Growing so fast. The problem is the follow-up. Again. Such a marvelous work of God. Something happened. They grew so much. They have many meeting places. And all these meeting places had to be registered with the Indian government. Unfortunately, they all registered under the name of Bhaksin. He had the final authority over all the properties. Centralization. There was divisions. People left. Now our dear brother, as I was told by Dana, who visited him recently, he was in his dying days. And the elders, the workers, were fighting over control. How the brothers and sisters suffered. Many loved the Lord. Many were not involved. But the enemy has come in. Dear brothers and sisters, as you look everywhere, it seems as if when God makes a move, it was so glorious. But then man's hand begins to come in and it spoils everything. But do we need to be disappointed? No. The Lord said, I will build my church upon this. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What the gates of Hades have prevailed, why preserve it? Let it be destroyed. It will not last into eternity anyway. But thank God what God has built. It is on overcoming ground. The enemy is under our feet. And it lasts to eternity. Brothers and sisters, it is not necessary that after 20 years, 30 years, a generation, there have to be a let down. It is not necessary. God is able to preserve us individually and corporately. If we believe in the preservation of the saints, not because we persevere, but because He perseveres, then we should believe in the preservation of the house of God. Because He is building His church. What is visible can easily be seen. What is invisible, you need to see with eyes of faith. Brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. nothing is lost. Nothing that is of God is lost. It's all here. And I believe the day is coming when we shall see a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any of such sort, holy and without blemish. And the Lord will come and receive her. May we be part of it. I'm sorry, I took almost the whole time. But I cannot help it. Well, we still have 15 minutes.